Donald Trump criticizes President Biden over a garbage remark about Trump voters. Biden says he was referring to the comedian at Trump's New York rally. Vice President Harris responding,
I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for.
Authorities believe the ballot box fires in Oregon and Washington are connected and that the suspect has a wealth of experience in metal fabrication and could strike again. Portland Police Spokesman Mike Benner.
Our officers will be providing extra patrols around ballot boxes in the wake of this as time and resources and workload allows.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin meets with South Korea's defense minister in Washington to discuss the deployment of thousands of North Korean troops to Russia for possible use against Ukrainian forces.
Putin will not prevail in Ukraine, even with more help from North Korea.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state cross-country meet is happening this weekend in Wisconsin Rapids. This will be the 112th running of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association Boys Cross-Country Championships and the 50th annual Girls Cross-Country Championships. It'll happen at Ridges Golf Course beginning at noon on Saturday, November 2nd. With colder weather starting to settle into the area, heating experts are sharing tips with residents on how to winterize their homes properly. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
Experts say residents should begin with starting their heaters or furnaces now to reduce the risk of fire later. If they have a chimney in their home, they should get it checked for signs of deterioration, which could also cause a fire hazard. Experts also say it's a good time to check your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to ensure they're working while checking your home for other heating-related fire dangers.
Wisconsin has seen a massive increase in early voting since the last presidential election. Wisconsin election officials are reporting a nearly 40% increase for early in-person absentee voting over 2020. Early voting began on October 22nd. On October 25th, the Wisconsin Election Commission announced that over 292,000 people had voted early in person, compared to the 209,000 people around the same time in 2020. Wisconsin is one of the most important swing states in this election cycle. Early voting continues in the state through Sunday, November 3rd. In Wisconsin Rapids, you'll need to complete your early in-person absentee vote before noon on Friday. November 1st is when the city clerk's office closes. After that, you can vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th. You can register same day at the polls by bringing your registration materials. Visit civicmedia.us/vote for links to more voting information. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers face a new Iowa quarterback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. When the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night, it'll be against the new quarterback, Brendan Sullivan, expected to be the starter after Iowa's Cade McNamara went down with an injury early against Northwestern last weekend. Sullivan led Iowa to a 40-14 win, scoring 37 unanswered points, and was asked what he'd like to improve on against Wisconsin.
Like everybody else, there's a lot to improve on, whether that's passing, whether that's running, I think decision-making as well. I think it just adds another element to be able to run the ball, but definitely a lot of film to go back and look at and learn from.
Badgers head coach Luke Fickle now facing Sullivan at quarterback.
There is a different skill set, and so you got to be aware of that. And so just to make it a little challenge, I don't think it's going to come up there before the idea that this is going to be a physical, tough game. And if you can't outmatch or match their physical toughness and mental toughness, that it won't matter who's a quarterback.
Baseball, game 5 of the World Series tonight in New York. The Dodgers lead the Yankees 3-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, cloudy with showers, even a few rumbles of thunder. Breezy. Temps fall through the 50s overnight, settling into the 40s tomorrow afternoon. Mostly sunny and a high in the upper 40s Friday to the mid-50s Saturday. Chance of rain late Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 62 degrees.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? what thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash Bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Who doesn't? Hey, welcome back. Great to have you with me here at Nightlight for hour number two. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay, beautiful wet downtown Green Bay right now. Hope the weather is a little bit better where you are as we proceed into Halloween overnight. It's the eve of Halloween and kind of an exciting time. I'm excited to have Halloween behind us. So that'll be nice. But it's great to have you here. This is a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight, which is so much better, I'll be honest, than the Monday and Tuesday night edition. Would you agree, Conrad?
You know, I would say I agree.
That was kind of a funny thing. I thought you were going to say, you know, Pete, I'm barely paying attention, so sure.
With Halloween, I don't know.
You don't like it.
I was on board with, like, you know, some of the classic movies are always fun to watch during this time. Beetlejuice, you know, Casper. But today, I was like, why not? I'll watch a new Halloween movie. I went on Netflix and I saw this movie. It was called The Curse of Bridge Hollow. Hmm. Netflix movie. I was like, you know what? This seems interesting. It had Wayne's. Sorry, I can't think of his first name. But it was so cringe.
Really?
But I stuck it out.
Did you like, Rotten Tomato it first?
Actually, I didn't see what they had on Rotten Tomatoes yet.
Oh, I'd always check. Before I went with an unknown commodity like that, a movie you never even heard of, honestly. And usually they have the reviews up there, but sometimes it's fun to take a chance, though, and just roll the dice.
But after that, I'm like, all right, after I see the classic movies, I'm all right. I don't need Halloween anymore.
You don't need to be an explorer. So tomorrow night we have a fun show too, folks. A film critic from RogerEbert.com, Mariah Gates, will be here to talk Noirvember, a little something she's put together. I'm also a fan of noir, so we'll have that conversation with Mariah tomorrow night. And then from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers, Jenny Slate will be here. We have an interview we did with Jenny yesterday that we will play tomorrow night. She was fun to talk to and delightful on TV, always funny. And you know what was interesting about her? She has an English lit degree, I want to say from like Columbia or something. When I was getting ready for the interview, it's like she didn't even study acting. She like kind of fell into an improv group and then it just kind of took off. And I guess you can't hide good talent because she's had a ton of success and she was a lot of fun to talk to. We'll play that tomorrow night. And then it's our popcorn pick of the week at 6:35. So you have an opportunity to get a brand new recommendation for something to watch heading into the weekend and on Halloween night. So that'll be fun. All right. So Caitlin Shuchart will be here shortly. We're going to discuss what's coming up at the Green Bay Film Festival. She's the festival director, and she will be here in person. And our question today, if you still want to get in on this, it's who is your favorite redhead? And we've heard Carol Burnett, Anne Margaret, Christina Hendricks, Ralph Malph. Who did you say again? The person from the movie.
So his name's actually Rupert, but it's Ron Weasley.
The kid with the glasses,
it's
right?
It's an actual character in Harry Potter. He's one of the main characters besides Harry.
You got a Jolly Rancher in there? What are you working on over there?
Yeah, I showed you. It's
Oh, those are the breath mints?
Yeah.
Okay. You're really going to town on it.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I heard a couple smacks in between what you were saying. That is our question tonight, though. Text us, and we would love to read it on the radio. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Steady Eddie checks in. Love a Steady Eddie check-in. Pete, when I was 5 years old, my favorite redhead was Lucille Ball. Okay, there's another one for Lucille Ball. You can't go wrong with that. I would watch a rerun episode of I Love Lucy in the morning before afternoon kindergarten. Oh, my gosh. I assume that meant when you were in afternoon kindergarten, Steadfast Edward. He says, in the modern era, my favorite is Conan O'Brien, a big, goofy redhead. Loved his late-night show on NBC. I would watch it after I got home from work. Nice. So, any signs of Steady Eddie? Steady Eddie, I would agree. Those are both great. We've heard someone else, a couple other people have said Lucille Ball, so she's got a strong showing tonight. Conan O'Brien is one I kind of forgot about, but Conan's great, too. And we were talking about, in one of my beats I do, the Hollywood beats here that air at the bottom of the hour throughout the day, I talked about why Homer Simpson has never been fired. And I think of that because Conan O'Brien actually wrote one of my favorite Simpsons episodes, and it's the one where Homer goes to college, a classic episode. But Conan O'Brien, a prolific writer before he even hosted a show. In fact, I remember when they gave Conan O'Brien the gig, there were a few people up for the gig. Some well-known, some not so much. And when he got it, I was like, who? And then he turned out to be this great talk show host. So it just goes to show you. You never know. He did have some improv training, as I understand it, before he turned to writing. So it's not like he never performed, but it was still kind of a surprise choice. Good one, though, for Conan O'Brien. Dave from the 608 says, Stephanie Powers, yes, another prominent redhead, part of the heart-to-heart team that used to get involved in a caper every week. Who are we talking to on this show, though, that said they were actually PIs? I forgot they were PIs. I thought they were just like this rich couple that somehow found themselves embroiled in tomfoolery every week. But that makes more sense if they're PIs. You remember who that was?
No, I can't remember.
I want to say Matt Miller. Or Rob Thomas, maybe?
I think it might have been Matt Miller.
Anna from the 608 says, Henry Winkler was in the movie The Lords of Flatbush with Sylvester Stallone in 1974, the same year Happy Days premiered. Good one, Anna. Yes. I knew he was in Lords of Flatbush, but I thought that came out after Happy Days for some reason. But you're right about that, 1974. I'm having trouble talking. I don't know what's going on. You know what the problem was, Conrad? I did not say a word all day. And sometimes that happens. I have a very solitude existence these days, whether I'm writing like a script or something, I'm by myself. When I'm prepping the show, I'm by myself. The house is quiet. So there are some days I don't talk until I get here. And then I'm just like unleashed. And I'm not like stretched. My voice isn't like stretched out. So I got to do better at that. I got to do some voice yoga.
Yeah.
All right. So as I mentioned earlier, Night Shift is one of my favorite movies. And it's Ron Howard directed it. I don't know that it's his first or one of his first films, but Henry Winkler plays an overnight undertaker at the New York City morgue. And he is paired up with a new guy played by Michael Keaton, who plays the character Bill Blazejowski. This is the scene where Henry Winkler is sitting back. He likes the morgue at night because it's quiet and he's a financial planner and he needs a sabbatical because he's had a stressful time. So this is the perfect job for him until he meets Michael Keaton's character, Bill Blazejowski, and this is that scene.
How you doing? I'm Bill Blazejowski. You call me Billy Blaze. You must be Chuck, right? Nice shoes. Hey, this is all right. Guess this is where I'm going to be working. I'm your new partner. Swish! Ah, they're going crazy in the arena. They can't believe it. It's unbelievable. This is great. What's our job? We'd like to drive around, pick up stiffs or what? Is that what we're supposed to do? Hey, Chuck, who's this? Wife?
Fiance.
Oh. Nice frame. Yeah, okay. We can make stuff. We can read coffee. This is great. I like it. You wonder why I carry this tape recorder? It's to tape things. See? I'm an idea man, Chuck. All right? I get ideas all day long. I can't control them. It's like they come charging in. I can't even fight them if I wanted to, you know? Ah, so I say them in here, and that way I never forget them. See what I'm saying? Okay, here's an example. Watch out. Stand back. This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper. See? Eat it. It's gone. Eat it. It's out of there. No garbage. Got everything in here. Business ideas, inventions, musicals. I wrote a couple musicals in here.
Would you like to see the rest of the office?
Yeah.
Now, they've been working together for a while, and Michael Keaton's character, Billy Blaze, is driving Henry Winkler's character insane. He cannot take his constant chatter, and here's a scene where Michael Keaton returns from Las Vegas, where he invented a new card scheme that didn't work out, and he's explaining it to Henry Winkler.
They're the Milestone Age family from the town of
name of the deceased, something Polish.
Hi, Chuck. Hey, just a jerky Leonard kid. How come we don't have TV? You want to hear about my weekend?
No.
You know I've been working on my blackjack system, right? All right. So, I got down to Atlantic City this weekend, and I'm sitting in the casino with my wash and dries. Did I tell you I had the idea for them first? Anyway, I'm sitting there, and I'm playing blackjack, right? They bar me. I'm out. I'm barred. I can't get in that, right? You know why? Being too good a player.
How much did you win?
Well, you know, I was down a couple hundred, but they could tell I was good, you know. They looked at me, and they threw me out. They bar me. So they start dealing me off the bottom. I can tell when they do that. So I get up, and I yell at the dealer, right? So he goes over to the pit boss, so I throw my complimentary watered-down drink right in his fat face. And they barred me for being too good a player. I think I'll go to Vegas next week.
So we don't have time for the third clip, do we?
No.
All right, we'll play that. We'll play that after we talk to Caitlin. But there's a classic scene in the film where Henry Winkler has had it and lays into Billy Blaze. And then they have a sweet, tender-hearted moment scene where they become friends. But basically, they end up running a prostitution ring out of the morgue at night because it's so quiet there. And Henry Winkler is a financial planner, so he invests the money of the working girls and helps them save, and they're good guys until it all comes crashing down. Great film, though, from the 608. Dave says, shout out for Coach Klein. Okay. Well done, Coach Klein. I'm not sure. Do you know who Coach Klein is, Conrad?
I don't know.
A redheaded character, perhaps? Let's go with that.
Redhead coach.
All right. Caitlin Shuchart is here. She is the festival director for the Green Bay Film Festival. She will be here next. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Everything about advertising can be terrifying to business owners. Don't let that chill go down your spine the next time you hear the word sales. Call me today. I'm Ashley, and I can take the fright out of advertising for your business. With our network abilities in digital, radio, and web, we possess all the tools to make your business successful. Call me today at 715-496-0710. Because here at 97.5 FM WFHR, we want you to succeed.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Okay, so Mike Toomey's show is in Kansasville, Wisconsin, November 30th at 8 p.m. You can go to ticketweb.com. And punch in Mike Toomey 2024 Christmas Comedy Special. I promise it'll be a great time. Mike is hilarious. Everyone he brings onto the show with him is hilarious. He's never asked me, and I'm one of his best friends, so I don't know what that tells you, but I still hope you go and support Mike because he's great. And Dave clarified, Coach Klein is from the Waterboy, Conrad.
I don't know how I get that. I don't know how I didn't know
I've only
that.
Seen it once. I don't I really have a desire that. To see it again, so not that I hated it or anything, but I wouldn't have remembered that. So thank you for the clarification, Dave. And Conrad?
Yeah.
Gotta step it up, dude. Come on. That's your movie.
It is one of my favorites. So I don't know how I didn't know that.
Has the Water Boy ever played at the Green Bay Film Festival?
I can't. Not in my time. Not in my
Nor
time.
Nor will it?
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, it's that could be fun.
It's a different vein. Yeah. You know, it's not an independent film, so it kind of, it's not our wheelhouse, but equally enjoyable. You know?
Can I just, I'm going to do a humble brag here for a second. It's not really a humble brag because it made me no money, but I will say, and the voice you're hearing, by the way, is Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival.
Hi,
welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you
Happy
for coming
to be
into
here.
The studio.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a little while, but
you've got curtains
time
since
flies.
You've been here. Yeah. So I made this film that we talk about probably more often than I'd like to on this show, but it always manages to come up. A lot of my guests have either had something to do with it or have seen it or whatever. So I made this film for about $500,000 called The Godfather of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And I decided to raise a little more money and release it in theaters because my friend Bob Brown had done that with a movie he made called Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Okay.
So the difference is I raised about, I don't know, 50 grand to try to promote a movie on 12 screens.
Yeah.
And he used $2 million. Anyway, Adam Sandler and I in like 1985 were on the cover of a CD-ROM for Comedy Central.
Get out.
We were the two. And he was already famous. They just kind of liked me personally, so I think they put me on there. I was nowhere near at his level. And so I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So I kept it, whatever. My movie comes out in like 2005 at Marcus Theaters here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And it's The Godfather of Green Bay, where people are slowly filtering in. And then there's an Adam Sandler movie next door where there's a line.
Of course.
It's like, boy,
yeah, nothing to humble
nothing
you
has changed
as much
years.
As Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a very humbling persona. So you were saying before we got on the air that you took one of these driverless cars.
Yes. So you have to be somewhere where the climate is absolutely predictable. So we were in Phoenix, Arizona, and we got recommended. You see them everywhere as soon as you get off the plane.
Yeah.
And we got recommended. We did think it was weird. We were like, I don't know. I don't think we can do it. And some people said, just try it. Just try it. And it was great. And I was saying to you that it was using my professional emails. When I got into the car, it said, welcome, festival director. So you can control the music. You can control the climate.
Wow.
It's a totally predictable car. They're all the same.
And no one's driving.
And no one's driving.
But you're on the street with other cars.
On the street with other cars, and they have like a camera, a bit like a Tesla, where they have that sort of big camera in the front.
Yeah.
So it's showing you everything that it's seeing. You can't go on the highway, and that's probably for the best.
Okay, yeah, but, for sure.
You know, side streets, when they're all nice and smooth, it was...
Going the speed limit?
Going the speed limit, right. You know.
I don't, I think that would make me nervous. I see those little things when I'm in Madison, 100%. The little food things driving around, and it is so futuristic and weird.
Yeah, it is.
And you come, sometimes you have a standoff, and it's just you and the thing, and then it will go around you. If it like it will not stare you down, it will go around you. It's very polite.
It will say uncle. Okay.
It will give the human the right of way. So I don't know, but the car, yeah, that freaks me out. But I'm glad things worked out.
It's kind of fun. It's the future, you know, the future.
It's the future. I'll go on the highway soon.
Not in Wisconsin. I don't think they're, you know.
They'll have to have four-wheel drive.
We're too tough here. There's too many unpredictable things. We like to throw in all the.
Yeah. We like to drive our own cars here. We're not mm-hmm. slackers. That's just how we make ourselves feel better about ourselves, that we don't have the modern technology quite yet.
Yeah, well, we like to live in the woods and the city. We like to kind of have the best of both. So.
But this weather, I mean, we could have one here. Yeah. Are you a summer person? Are you?
I am, but you know what? I like the seasons. I think if you just get one, no offense, but like how boring. And I like to say it puts hair on your chest and keeps it interesting, you know. Okay. So do I like summer? Yeah, but I like love fall. I like the winter. I'm from Colorado, where the sun really shines a lot more. So that was a big transition to come here. I was like, it is gray. It's gray in the Midwest, friends.
I already have hair on my chest, some, and it's a real pain because I wax it and I put Conrad helps me, but it's an awkward Conrad. Thing, you know.
It haunts my dreams.
So in Colorado,
is that part of the job description?
It is.
It wasn't initially, but you know. He was bucking for promotion.
Things come up.
In Colorado has mm-hmm. more sunshine every year, more days, sunny days, than in Southern California.
You bet.
How do you like that? And you ended up here.
And I'm here. Here I am.
How did
and
that happen?
Here I am. You know, you fall in love with a guy and he's from here. He's
things
a Schneider,
we do for
he's
love.
A Schneider man. So.
Oh, okay. See, everyone I meet that is from, most guys I meet up in the Marinette Menominee area, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm from Boston.
Oh.
I'm from Pensacola. I'm from Dallas. I'm from Colorado.
Get
what
out.
Brought
okay.
you here?
Okay.
Met a girl.
A lady. A woman.
Exactly. Right, well, and her parents live there.
Yep. Yep.
So.
We know each other well. You know?
Bunch of suckers. I'm glad you ended up here. This is great.
Yeah,
you're doing great
wonderful.
Work
yeah.
at the Green
Thank
Bay
you.
Film Festival. Thank it's you. Coming up. Tell us when it is this year.
So next Saturday.
Or not this
so
year, but this month. Yeah.
This in November 9th. So into next month, November 9th, next Saturday. So we have two sessions. We have a 4 to 6 session and a 7 to 9 session.
Okay.
We have the Boys and Girls Club coming. They have a film, the local Boys and Girls Club. So they're going to have a little like workshop during the intermission to talk to filmmakers and ask questions. And so it's just real hometown. Hometown people, hometown topics.
See, I love that because, and we'll get after the news, we'll get more into some of the films you're showing, but I don't feel like the incentives they're trying to bring to Wisconsin for filmmakers. Mm. I think you have to start young. You have to build a culture.
Sure.
And we have to identify ourselves as a film state, an arts state, a cultural state. That will get people coming here. That will get people that live here that want to stay here and make movies. Mm-hmm. You have to start young and facilitate a culture rather
ding, ding,
than
ding,
just
ding,
say,
ding. Yeah.
Hey, come here. We've got a couple things other states don't have, but it's not enough, mm-mm. I think. You have to build mm-hmm. it in. Don't you mm-hmm. think that?
I do.
And you're
I really
doing your
do.
Part.
I really do. And anybody can make a movie. There's all the technology is there. Anybody can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you ever made one?
Back in college.
All right, we'll talk.
On 16 millimeter, not to get my age away, but
nice.
Yeah.
That was my film. We did Super 16, and I was so jazzed.
It's pretty fun.
It's
a little intense because you're like, I don't know I'm not sure how this is going to turn out.
I know, but it's so, the look of it is so priceless.
I'm a tactile person, so yeah, I enjoyed, you know, the sound and the touch. Yeah. Like actually editing it, cutting it, taping it
totally.
Together. Yeah.
All right. That is the voice of Caitlin Shuchart. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the films you can see at the Green Bay Film Festival, which is this next month, technically, but it's getting close. We'll have more with Caitlin after the award-winning news team here at Civic Media keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Polls show the Harris-Walz and Trump-Vance presidential tickets are in a practical tie in Wisconsin. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders was in Oshkosh encouraging supporters to bring voters to the polls on November 5th.
So important from an economic perspective, so important from a democracy perspective, so important from a women's right, from a climate change perspective. Do everything you can, and you can make a difference, really. And you got a few hundred people in this room, you go out and bring 200 or 300 other people out, it makes a difference in an election which could be so very close.
Former President Donald J. Trump will be in the Green Bay area today, and former President Bill Clinton will be campaigning for Democrats up and down the ballot on Thursday. World Stroke Day happens this week. It's a day to underscore the serious nature and high rates of stroke. The day helps raise awareness of stroke prevention and treatment and ensure better care and support for survivors. Dr. Fareed Suri is Aspira St. Luke's Stroke Program Medical Director. He said strokes happen because of clogging in the blood vessels.
The risk factors for those clogging up of the blood vessels is blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, and smoking.
When a stroke happens, it's important to act quickly to stop the damage to the brain.
When a blood vessel gets clogged up in the brain, the part of the brain is not dead right away. It stops functioning, but it is gradually dying over time.
That's why it's so important to be fast when someone is having a stroke. Hence the symptom acronym BFAST. It stands for balance, eyes, face, arm, speech, terrible headache. When someone is having these symptoms, call 911 right away. The sooner they get the care they need, the better their brain will recover. Sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com for more local and state news right in your inbox. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Need more Nick Offerman in your TV viewing life? Yes, please. Variety reports Nick will join Elle Fanning and Michelle Pfeiffer in the new Apple TV show, Margo's Got Money Troubles. Fanning plays a woman desperate for money who starts an OnlyFans site. Been there. Offerman plays her father, a retired pro wrestler, and Pfeiffer plays her mother, a Hooters waitress. The show is based on the Ruth Thorpe novel of the same name that was just recently released. The first season will offer 8 episodes. In a recent interview with the Associated Press, Hugh Grant says he killed 3 people. Of course, he did so, whimsically, and with that adorable accent and toothy grin. Grant is trying to get people's attention to go see his new movie, Heretic, in which he plays a creepy character named Mr. Reed. Grant appears to be moving on from his rom-com roles and looking for darker parts. I'm not saying the 64-year-old actor actually killed 3 people, but saying you did so in an effort to promote a movie really is the perfect cover. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, cloudy with showers, even a few rumbles of thunder. Breezy. Temps fall through the 50s overnight, settling into the 40s tomorrow afternoon. Mostly sunny and a high in the upper 40s Friday to the mid-50s Saturday. Chance of rain late Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 62 degrees.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour continues from beautiful Wisconsin Rapids and the parking lot of WFHR. Reed Gale and Trigby Olson and myself, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
ask why you had to cut your show to cover Trump's rally, but not a whisper of Harris and Madison. I believe they covered that earlier, Christine. There's no media bias here or anything. I know they cut that. We have to cover both. So I don't want to speak for anybody else here at the network, but I'm pretty sure we covered the Harris rally earlier. She says, I listen to your show because I don't have to hear that criminal. I don't understand why you felt he was so important compared to Harris. It's not what I feel personally, Christine. There are just laws and decisions that are made, and this is a crazy time of year. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, we might have to cut away periodically because, you know, Conrad is in charge of everything. So if you have something to blame, somebody, if you need a finger to point.
Oh, thanks.
But I would personally,
Wednesday for Conrad.
Yeah, I would rather talk movies and TV. But I appreciate the text and thank you for the feedback, Christine, and thank you for listening. Christine Schuchart is here in the studio with me, as you can see, our lovely WGBW.
Look at that. Look at that.
I like your shirt. Is all I want?
Coffee and Keanu Reeves.
How cool is Keanu Reeves?
Coolest, my very favorite.
I learn about this guy, and I'll be honest, I didn't always love his acting in some stuff, but as a human,
Top notch, this guy. Yeah, yeah.
When I wanted to be famous when I was younger, I always
thought that's the kind of guy I'm going to be.
I didn't know him yet, but I was like, and he does all those things that most people probably want to, but then their fame becomes part of their reality, and that's normal. But this guy goes out of his way to be a good dude.
And he plays the bass guitar now in a band. He's like traveling doing
that. Just brought him down a notch.
Just kidding. No.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, for my 40th birthday, because I love him so much, all my friends showed up in Keanu Reeves gear with Keanu Reeves themed gifts. So... So I like to tout Keanu whenever I get opportunity. He needs me to be out there talking about him and giving him fanfare. So.
Listen, I don't know if he's married, so you might have
a
shot.
He's not, but I am.
But you're married. Well, it's complicated.
But I think my husband would understand if it came down to him.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Keanu. Well, we'll find out.
Honey, it's Keanu.
I think he would gladly. He loves me so much that he'd be like, I get it. So
let that guy go.
I believe it.
That is pretty cool. All right. Well, let's talk about your really cool. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry I missed your last two. You guys do have kind of a different format. A lot of festivals do everything like in 1 week or whatever. You guys have a different event every month. And I think that's kind of cool. Can you explain
that? Well, we used to do a daily festival. We used to do it at St. Norbert's. And I think... You know, COVID took a big chunk out of that. And we were able to find a home at the Tarleton. And we, on a smaller sort of stage, thought, how can we celebrate each genre properly and give everyone a moment to kind of like catch their breath? Because we just didn't have the infrastructure to be running around all day. It's one theater. So we were like, okay, how can we break this up? Stay more current on people's minds. Spread the work out over the year. So it was kind of like, let's do 3 months on, 3 months off, 3 months on, 3 months off, and kind of do it that way. So now, you know, we just have an afternoon where we can really be like, oh, you like comedy? Here we go. We're going to throw comedy at you, talk comedy, get into comedy, celebrate this comedy, and, you know, be on our way. So
that's so great.
Yeah,
you have this month, you're doing Wisconsin Zone.
We do two of those a year.
Right. I saw that on your site.
Yeah.
And this fall or in November, you're doing one. So tell me, what kind of films will you be showcasing from Wisconsinites?
Well, our winning film is a little animated film about a beaver. We have the Boys and Girls Club. They submitted a film to us. We love having a local young kid component to this.
Nice.
We have a documentary about the wetlands around here. The cool thing about Wisconsin Zone is there isn't just one genre. It's all, Wisconsin filmmakers or people who lived here or people who wanted to make films about the things that go on here. So you can kind of get a little bit of everything, a little spice.
Very nice. And features, shorts, is there a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. Yeah, which I think is great. It keeps you kind of on your toes and nothing over an hour on this one. We instituted this year for our submissions, nothing over an hour and a half, because if you can't get it, the story in an hour and a half, then... We don't have time for it. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So we kind of said if you can,
So you won't show a film that's over an hour and a half.
No.
When you first said that, I was thinking maybe it was because of turnover and getting the theater.
No. This is, I think I'm really passionate about editing in an hour, I think in 90 minutes, 80 minutes. Ooh, yeah. That story should sail. You know, it shouldn't feel
ideally long. You'll never show a Martin Scorsese movie.
People will fight me on that. But not everybody's Martin Scorsese. Okay. Correct.
Yeah. Sometimes even Martin Scorsese is not Martin Scorsese.
Sometimes even he is not. So, yeah, I'm passionate about editing. I will go to the guns about don't be precious over it. Really make the story work. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about some of these. 4 p.m. you have, and this would be November, what day
this
would
this is the
be?
9th, I believe.
The 9th. Okay. Yes. So it's coming up. This is interesting and should catch the attention of a lot of people around here. The Birth of the Modern Snowmobile, directed by Nate Shepard. What is that? Just about how the snowmobile made changes over the years, documentary?
Yeah, kind of.
It's so great. And it's just under 7 minutes
long. Just under 7 minutes. And that one, I think, came from, they submitted under a different category and we pulled them into this one. So, you know, we were like, actually, you fit much better over here. So,
that works.
So
okay.
That's there. Yeah.
Then you've got 42 seconds. This looks. I love the artwork on that poster.
Yeah.
Beautiful artwork.
They put
artwork.
In some really cool graphic design.
Yeah. Directed by Steve Anderson. Months after a mass shooting at a small town diner, the only survivors revisit the scene with hopes of healing from their shared trauma. A single moment can last forever. Mm-hmm. You see so much stuff like this at film festivals, too.
Yeah.
Just
really cool stories. Gripping. Little slice of life. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and then what's one of your features here?
So go down.
Dancing Monkey.
Go down. Nubbinwood is our. Oh, you're asking for features.
Yeah, if you
the
have.
The longest one is probably that Invitation to Wonder, which is about the Wabesa. Am I saying that wrong? Wabesa.
That works for me.
Yeah, okay. That's one of our longest, but most, you know, it's nice because most of them are pretty short and easy.
Yeah. So, all right. So where can people get tickets? Are tickets on sale right now?
Tickets on sale right now. gbfilmfestival.org. Very, very easy. Also, you can get them day of. Come right in. Get them at the door. $20. The cool thing is we offer like a smattering of hors d'oeuvres. So that comes with your ticket. And it's a really cozy little space. So the really dedicated crew. And we just have a really good time. We just watch movies.
I love it.
Get together. Watch movies. You know?
Do you have how many... filmmakers do you bring in and do they host Q&As typically?
It depends. Yes, it depends. But every filmmaker gets an opportunity at the end of the session to take questions, ask questions, be involved in questions. It can be a bit like herding cats, I say, getting filmmakers. I think in the nature of what we do, sometimes they've moved on to their next project by the time they're putting their films in festivals. So some are really excited to talk about the project, get into it, and some are like, I'm on to my next thing. Good luck with you. Yeah. So
do you have different themes sometimes or I know you've done Women's Own or.
Yeah, we had Female Perspective
female
this year.
Perspective. Okay.
One of my favorites we did was playing with sound. And, you know, our winning film was just subtitles. They had like sound effects and subtitles. So that one was really cool. And we did like a silent disco at the end. I don't know if you're familiar with Conrad might know. He's a young man, but.
And I probably doesn't even know what disco means.
Silent disco. So basically there's three channels. Everybody gets headphones and you're all listening together, but maybe to different things. And it's just sort of we aim to make every festival event sort of an experience. So it was all really about like sound and experiencing sound and seeing sound, if you will. So
how do you do this when you've got in November? I'm sorry I missed this. You had a noir.
Yeah, we had noir. That was October.
I love film noir
really
so much.
Cool.
I wish I would have known that. I would have totally had you guys on. Tales of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
When you pick something, are there times you don't go back to it? Like, do some things sell more than others?
Well, good.
You got to make
funny
money,
that
right?
This new format is it's new for us still. So we would like to – like, horror is one of our bigger ones. So we did it last year. We're doing noir this year. So I think – we did noir this year, sci-fi fantasy for 2025, and then I think we'll circle back. So I think there's popular things that people want to see. Noir, I think, would be – a big one we would bring back.
That's good to hear because I love noir.
Yeah.
I feel like the women's perspective, you have a kind of a built-in audience. Wisconsin's Own, you kind of have a built-in audience.
Yeah.
But like, I'm glad the noir went over. That's
it was
really
awesome.
Cool.
It was really, really fun.
And how did the Great Lakes, where is that? Oh, but Tales of the Great Lakes. You did that in September, I believe.
We did. And
was that like shipwreck stuff?
Yeah, that one was really cool.
Love
and
we had
this really cool guy. Oh my God, I'm blanking his name, but he's from the Wisconsin Maritime Museum. And he came in and did a whole presentation on how they preserve things from the bottom of the lakes and how they do.
Wow.
Yeah, how they're really not digging for treasure, but diving for treasure. Yeah. And yeah, so that was just another really cool extra that, you know, we brought.
Interesting footage and stuff.
Yeah. He had a whole PowerPoint presentation for us
about. Very nice.
And, you know, from not being from the area, I don't think about the Lake Michigan has all these shipwrecks. And it has a rich history. So
it sure does. So does Door County.
Yeah.
Alone.
Truly,
have you been to Door County?
I have. Yeah. And seeing, or even up in Marinette with the huge ship. I mean, huge.
Marinette Marine.
Yes.
Fincantieri.
Yes.
Yeah. So tickets are $20.
$20.
And what does that include?
That includes the whole day, includes a smattering of food, and includes a cool theater, includes an awesome film festival crew. And a lot of filmmakers often who will answer your questions and, you know, dive deeper with you.
That's my favorite part of it, is the Q&A.
As a nerd,
it's just feeling like getting into the weeds or behind-the-scenes stuff from filmmakers is, to me, one of the great things about film festivals.
Absolutely.
My guest is Caitlin Schuchart, who is here. We've had a lot of issues.
That's okay. Kristen.
But I finally got your name.
That's okay.
The last part.
Yeah.
Did you know my last name?
Schuchart. Schwaba. Yeah. Schwaba.
Yeah, see? You didn't get it the last time we were talking about that, because a lot of people struggle with my name, too. So I can relate to your...
It's the nature. You can't be pinned down, Pete. That's right? What it is. Yeah.
You can call me Shuwaba if you want. That's fine.
My mom likes to say, Sobieski. She's, you know...
Oh, yeah. Because that's how the actress says it.
Learning some of the pronunciation around here. So, you know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
We had... There was a bakery in Marinette called... Bushies.
Bushies.
But it was spelled Bouchers.
Oh, Bouchers.
Which sounds French.
Way and more fancy.
If I had a pastry shop, that's what I would
Bouchers.
Call it.
Bouchers.
Yeah, let's go over to Bushies. Get some croissants.
It just seems...
I don't know. But there's a lot of, pronunciations.
Bouchers would definitely be the
way.
It
takes a while.
Yeah. No, my mom said Suamico for a while instead of Suamico.
Okay.
So, you know, it's all made up.
Do you say Green Bay or Green Bay?
Green Bay or Green Bay?
Where do you put the emphasis? My parents have lived in this area for 40 years, and they still say Green Bay.
Green Bay.
We're heading down to Green Bay. Most people, I kind of, how do you say
green.
It?
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Green Bay.
Green Bay.
You're saying the same thing. It's not like people don't know
Green Bay.
What
I
you're
like
talking
to,
about.
Green
I like
Bay.
To really put a bay, Green Bay, you know.
This is important stuff. We'll be right back with more linguistics talk. No.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the venue, the Tarleton Theater. Really cool, funky theater. It seems like the perfect venue, right?
It's really, really cool. It's really, really perfect.
Does Carl
do
stuff for the festival?
Oh, yeah. He sits on our board.
Okay.
And he's very invested in, you know, local artisans and kind of giving them a space to exhibit their work. So, yeah. And he's done so many sort of improvements and little things along the way to make the theater successful and us successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's awesome. We love him.
He's a good dude. He's been on the show and
He should have his own show. I'm sure he's
one
competition.
Time, I don't need that kind of... Listen, is that why you showed up here tonight? Conrad.
To tout for Carl.
I'm going to go produce for Tara.
Down in Green Bay?
In Green Bay.
I think, I just got sidetracked. Oh, yeah, he pulled up here one night.
Yeah.
He's run late. And we both see this, like, pickup truck screech to a halt outside this big window. I'm like, what the hell is that? And there's a knock... It's Tarl. He's like, I thought I was going to be late. He's like,
I got
this old
as quick
truck.
As I could.
I guess so. All right. We'll have a few more minutes here with Caitlin Schuchart. She is the festival director for the Green Bay Film Festival, which you all have to check out. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Film festivals are great. This is a really great one. November 9th, we'll have more with Caitlin in just a few minutes. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is getting heavy. Can you hear the bass? Boom, I'm ready.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Everything about advertising can be terrifying to business owners. Don't let that chill go down your spine the next time you hear the word sales. Call me today. I'm Ashley, and I can take the fright out of advertising for your business. With our network abilities in digital, radio, and web, we possess all the tools to make your business successful. Call me today at 715-496-0710. Because here at 97.5 FM WFHR, we want you to succeed.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
And good evening, everybody. I'm Todd Allball from Civic Media here, coming to you live from the District Pub and Grill in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, a pivotal area in this race for president coming up in now 5 days, 5 hours, and 8 minutes and 25 seconds, according to the Harris campaign clock, which is on their live stream right now. We are coming, interrupting this special programming to bring you Vice President Harris's speech in the Dane County Coliseum down south of us, of course, in the capital city of Madison, awaiting live coverage here. Exciting day. We have been on the road with our show across Wisconsin on this What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. Of course, the 3rd District, pivotal here in Eau Claire especially. Joining me on the road, the founder of the Lincoln Project and the president of the Union, Reed Galen, and the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, native of Wisconsin like myself. All three of us guys are former Republicans. Kind of weird in some ways that here we are about to watch a Democratic candidate for president. But Reed, what does this mean to Wisconsin in this campaign?
Well, look, I think that as we're just watching the video here, look, they did a great job. As an old advanced man, right. Todd, right? They did a great job on the look. I think they have done a very good job. And I think, you know, a lot of American flags, a lot of bunting, a lot of Americana. I think they are very much trying to get the vice president to be seen as someone who is first and foremost an American, second a Democrat, to reclaim a lot of that territory that frankly the Republican Party has ceded with so much of the anger and, you know, making America, quote, great again.
Our own Catherine Lake, general manager of our Madison station there on the ground, she's been to a lot of these, saying it's the most boisterous, the loudest rally that sure. She's been to so far. I'm the only person, those watching on the stream, that did not get the memo. Trigby and Reed in their Badger gear. And Reed, you pointed out, lots of red and white in the Coliseum, saying Badgers for Harris. Trigby, as a Wisconsin guy, you know how important this is to connect with the Badger state.
Yeah, my understanding is Dane County Coliseum hasn't been rocking like this since guys were throwing pucks past North Dakota Fighting Sioux goalies. So it's a great day
for hockey, as Cole Bob Johnson said.
It is, Bob Johnson would say. I bet Bob Johnson would be voting for Kamala Harris, too. Kamala Harris, there's no doubt.
It looks like, probably 2 hours ago, we got a notice that the Dane County Coliseum was at capacity. Last I checked, we're around 11,000, 11,500 with standing room only. So, I mean, you're not going to get another person in here. Vice President Harris continues to make these big crowds, guys. And as we got the Marquette Law School poll numbers out today, it is now within the margin of error for all intent and purposes, a tied race. Vice President Harris has a point or two up on likely voters, but it just goes to show, and you guys both worked in Republican presidential campaigns for Bush, for McCain and others, momentum, enthusiasm, Reed, plays a big part in turnout.
No, I think so. I mean, look, the Harris campaign took off like a shot right after, you know, mm-hmm. she took over for President Biden. And I think now, yeah, you can see that they're coming on. Remember, we were on campus, Trigby and I were on campus on Monday. A big crowd of volunteers at the Wisconsin Democratic table. A lot of folks asking how we could get involved, how we could get tickets to the event that's going on right now. And so, yeah, I think that, look, as somebody said earlier today, Todd, right, like, Democrats rarely feel good about anything, and so if they feel good about something, like that's usually a good sign.
All right. Trevi, again, enthusiasm here. You talk a lot about these Dobbs dads. Just remind us quickly what that is and the importance of those former, what we call Evers-Johnson voters, are going to play in this race.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 60,000 Evers-Johnson voters in the state of Wisconsin. Most of them tend to be conservative. The Dobbs decision was a step too far. They tend to have daughters, and, you know, I think they're showing up. I would guess, with it being in Madison, there's a lot of those daughters who are there who are going to be talking to their dads after this. The other thing I'd point out is, you know, in the Marquette poll, they ask an enthusiasm question, and we had Craig Gilbert on the show today. Mm. Democrats are leading in enthusiasm, and that was not the case, you know, when Joe Biden was nominee and even at the outset. So you're seeing that enthusiasm. That matters a lot in a really close race.
Yeah, and just to expand on what Trigby said, the one other thing that Craig said was that it was that the enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats was minus 20 when President Biden was still on the ticket. Mm-hmm. It's now plus 5, plus 10 Democrat. And again, in a very close race, I think all of these surveys, both Marquette and the other ones we talked about earlier today, I think are underestimating the effect of women in the vote. I think that they are underestimating the gender
gap. Well, and the CNN poll kind of got to that, right? Because in the CNN poll, you have a much bigger gender gap. I would think that that is probably real here in the state of Georgia.
You guys read my down here tonight, talk as dads of daughters. Talk about what this means, having Kamala Harris, a woman, come here tonight.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Trigby is really, I think he deserves all the credit for the architecture and the theory behind the idea of the Dobbs dad, that guys like us, we both have two daughters at home, both have two teenage daughters at home. The idea that the role of a dad in our mind, first and foremost and forever, is that of protector. And I think there's also a value proposition, right, which is, yes, there's abortion, but it's also really, you know, from a conservative perspective, Todd, is who do you want being able to tell you and your family what you can and can't do within your family and in your home?
Trigby, quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the rally. I will tell you, years ago when President Bush was running in 2004, redid the event up the western Wisconsin. And it ended in Minnesota at the Target Center, and that place was rocking. And this looks like it's rocking in that exact same way.
Yeah, I believe it's a student. I'm not sure. I'll wait for my notes here from our great producer, Aaron.
And it's our popcorn
tomorrow.
Pick of the week. Tell Maybe you can make our popcorn
hi.
Pick of the week. We might have Caitlin do that. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we'll hear from our friends at Motherhood for Good. They've spent months introducing us to women ready to lead. Now they offer some final words to moms about voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.